It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
If one stands back and takes an honest, objective assessment of the current state of society, what conclusion would be arrived at? Consider this quote from renowned psychologist Stanley Milgram. He said this: "The disappearance of a sense of responsibility is the most far-reaching consequence of submission to authority." Consider that deeply. And if you don't know who Stanley Milgram was, or if you're unfamiliar with the Milgram experiments and what they revealed about the alarming behavior of many within our societies, please investigate. Submission to a criminal power structure is further facilitated by mass distraction, created by the constant orchestrated political theater of the absurd that we are shown on mainstream media every single day. When the completely scripted political theater is not quite capturing the attention of the population, a mass shooting or some other sort of terrorist incident often takes place. Just a coincidence? Something to consider. And when all else fails to keep populations from investigating independent sources of information and perhaps looking up to see what is going on over their heads in our geoengineering jet-sprayed skies, those in power can and are ratcheting up the police state censorship of independent data. Here's the latest case in point. From the UK Independent and other sources, this red flag headline of the unfolding police state of America: YouTube to delete thousands of accounts after it bans supremacists, conspiracy theorists, and other harmful users. And of course, they lump independent news in as, quote, conspiracy theorists, and try to tie that together with supremacists to put everyone in the same basket. It's one of their commonly used tactics. From that report, YouTube will delete thousands of accounts after banning, quote, supremacists, conspiracy theorists, and other harmful accounts, it has claimed. The report continues, "The decision was made after an in-depth review of its rules on hateful content," YouTube said. "While it has always banned hate content in general, the site has allowed some specific kinds of harmful videos, such as claiming 9/11 did not happen, to continue being hosted on the YouTube channel." Let me stop there for a moment. Has anyone ever claimed 9/11 didn't happen? I've never heard such a claim. No. Here's the fact-based conclusion that needs to be faced. The official narrative of what happened on 9/11 is a lie of unimaginable proportion that anyone who honestly and objectively investigates would find out. But it seems that soon only the official lie will be allowed on YouTube. The official narratives, the on-the-record, factually verifiable conclusions about 9/11 from over 3,000 of the world's top architects and engineers, for example, will not be allowed. Back to the YouTube censorship report. YouTube is going to delete thousands of accounts as its new policies go into place. "We will begin enforcing this updated policy," they said. "However, it will take time for our systems to fully ramp up, and we'll be gradually expanding coverage over the next several months." It did not give any specific examples of accounts that would be removed. Censorship from the police state. The criminal cabal controls the rapidly expanding U.S. police state, and they will continue to pull the noose tighter and tighter around our collective necks unless or until we, the public, and the legions of honorless order followers who currently serve the insanity say no more. No more. To those that are already fully engaged in the epic battle for the greater good, my deepest gratitude to you. Let us continue with our collective efforts to wake the masses and to turn the tide. Dire breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 200. June 8th, 2019, news most don't want to hear, but that we must face if we are to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7 AM. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. It is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and by other sources around the country that are increasingly picking up this broadcast. We are grateful to them for doing so. Another way to help us sound the alarm is to attend Jim Fair events. Jim Fair has been and is an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Visit the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth at Jim Fair events. Get free Geoengineering Watch awareness raising materials and help us in the critical effort to wake the masses. Visit the Jim Fair, that's GEMFAIRE, homepage online to find out where upcoming events will be staged. This week's event started yesterday, ends tomorrow, Salt Lake City, Utah. Next week, San Diego, California, June 28th through June 30th. Again, go to the Jim Fair homepage for more details. Moving on, another week in the asylum, the attempt to censor any information that might wake up or panic the herd continues. Consider this headline from globalresearch.ca, quote, "The murdering of Julian Assange." If a lie is repeated often enough, it becomes the truth in the minds of the programmed listeners. It's the indoctrination of the public to demonize somebody or a group of people or a country who could become dangerous for the empire's vicious and criminal endeavors. That is the objective. That's what they are doing with Julian Assange. Here's one more new example of the officially enforced ram-your-head-in-the-sand society. From the UK Guardian and other sources, more red flag warnings of our increasingly censored police state societal asylum. Here's the headline, quote, "U.S. schools accused of censoring climate crisis message in graduation speeches." From that report, students say authorities have barred them from reading a text that warns of, quote, "catastrophic climate change," which is absolutely true, "for being too political." Too political, the survival of our species, too political. And we certainly know that any mention of the climate engineering insanity would never be tolerated. I'm saddened to mention this fact about a school which my own children attended, that when I and a recognized local physician approached administrators of the school to air an internationally award-winning environmental documentary called Home, H-O-M-E, we were refused because the message in that documentary was simply not going to be allowed. For the children to see and understand what's happening in the environment was not allowed. And I'm very saddened to state that that is exactly what happened. What sort of completely ridiculous and patently false official news is allowed to be propagated by mainstream sources of propaganda and lies? Consider this from CBS News and other sources. Stop and ponder the absolute absurdity of this headline. Quote, "Swarm of ladybugs so large it registers on National Weather Service radar in California." Follow me through with this. This is from last week. "A swarm of ladybugs moving through San Diego County was so large it registered on the National Weather Service's weather radar Tuesday night," CBS Los Angeles reports. The National Weather Service official in San Diego tweeted out a video of the radar that looked to be showing precipitation, but it was in fact what they called a, quote, "ladybug bloom." National Weather Service meteorologist Miguel Miller told local news radio station KNX-AM that the 80-mile-long, 80-mile-wide blob was heading towards San Diego County from the San Gabriel Mountains. The ladybugs were reportedly flying between 5,000 and 9,000 feet high, according to the Los Angeles Times. The blob was pictured moving from the city of Barstow in San Bernardino County, 80 miles south to Riverside, a city near Los Angeles. It covered an area, again, of more than 1,000 square miles in total, according to the Palm Springs Desert Sun, another publication. And from that publication, the Palm Springs Desert Sun, this. They said that a meteorologist for the Weather Service told them that a weather spotter, this is just a civilian, in Wrightwood, California, in the San Bernardino Mountains, reported a higher-than-usual population of ladybugs. The Weather Service then linked the mass to this sighting. Stop and consider that. You have a civilian, quote, weather spotter, who says they saw a few more ladybugs than normal, and suddenly they conclude or make the claim that an 80-mile-long, 80-mile-wide cloud over the desert is a mass of untold quadrillions of ladybugs? This is completely absurd. Consider this. Official sources can't even identify the type of ladybug they claimed formed a 1,000-mile square cloud that we are told created a sky-blocking obscuration that covered an 80-mile-wide, 80-mile-long span of sky from Barstow, California to Riverside, California. I worked and lived in this exact region of the country for 15 years. It's high desert. Ladybugs were not so common to see, let alone a cloud of them 80 miles long and 80 miles wide. And finally, let's not forget that insect populations have crashed across the globe, an 80 to 90% crash. Consider this new report from multiple sources. The Great Insect Dying, a global look at a deepening crisis. In spite of that fact, peer-reviewed proven fact, the official narrative still states that a 1,000-square-mile sun-blocking cloud of ladybugs is considered to be real news, which is not only allowed, but propagated on all mainstream sources. So in summary, a lie of monumental proportion, of absolute absurdity, we are told to believe is true with no investigation, no proof whatsoever. Yet we are told to believe that climate engineering, jet aircraft spraying operations that we can all see occurring in our skies, that there are absolutely mountains of data to confirm is happening, we are told is not actually happening. It's not actually real. But again, 80-mile-long clouds of ladybugs over the high desert are real, or so we are told and expected to believe. We live in an asylum, and for the record, the only way that asylum can be maintained and expanded is for the majority of the inmates in the asylum to cooperate with the administrators of the asylum. Something to consider. Here are more headlines from that asylum. From multiple sources, this alarming headline, quote, USA lags behind China in banning harmful pesticides. Stop and think about that. America is worse than China. And here we have Monsanto, now proven their product, glyphosate, contaminating in many ways the entire planet, penetrating every aspect of our lives and the web of life, causing cancer and a host of degenerative human diseases. And yet, we have our own government defending that company. Question, is such criminal corporate protectionism how America is going to be made great again? How much longer can the delusion of perpetual expansion on a finite planet with finite resources be maintained? From BusinessInsider.com, this new headline that sends out a massive red flag about the true state of the collapsing economy. Quote, the pain is just beginning. After 38,000 layoffs, Wall Street wakes up to, quote, peak car. You understand that term? The car industry now like a snake eating its own tail. Manufacturing cars that sit on parking lots. They're buying their own automobiles to keep their bottom line covered up, that they're imploding as businesses. Another headline, global demand for cars will decline further in 2019, analysts predict. Not hard to predict that. Another headline, there have been 38,000 job losses among automakers in the last 6 months, parallel with the headline I just read. Another headline, one stark example, commercial vehicle exports from the UK collapsed by 89% in April. Another headline, the decline of cars will lower global GDP growth. Another headline, global semiconductor sales plunge 24%. Another headline, Australia's economy slows to levels not seen since the recent great financial collapse. One more headline from Australia. Australia's central bank cuts rates to record lows as growth sags. Another headline, Russia and China prepare to dump the dollar and agree to bilateral trade in national currencies. The end of the dollar hegemony. It's coming, and the empire that prints the dollar will be more desperate than ever. Make no mistake about that. Another headline, Singapore has 24,000 empty apartments and 44,000 more on the way. Another headline, Aviva overhauls UK business, going to cut 1,800 jobs. Another headline, global recession fears grow as factory activity shrinks in the US, Europe, and Asia. Another headline, Australia's Telstra planning to cut 10,000 contractor jobs soon. As the biosphere collapses, the economy will follow. It is so incredibly simple. If one simply clears the lenses through which they see the world and looks at inarguable frontline data, could not be more clear. Here's a quick headline update on the pharmaceutical industry complex and their assault on populations with proven, harmful, highly toxic vaccinations. Christopher died at 14 after the HPV vaccine. That's from learntherisk.org. From the same site, Evie died less than 2 days after her six-month vaccines. And for the record, there are so many documented cases like those two just described, so many. And as many as there are, it is still a fraction of the total because many choose not to publicly reveal their pain. But there are so many of these, again, testimonies. Why wouldn't any caring parent look and listen to these parents who are trying to sound the alarm, who are trying to share what happened to them? Why would that be ignored by any caring parent? Something to think deeply about. Another headline, healthy babies do not just die. Another recent headline report along the same theme, official agencies list sudden infant death as a side effect. A side effect to what? That one's not hard to guess at. Another headline, U.S. has highest first-day infant mortality out of all industrialized nations, new report states. Think about that. The highest first-day infant mortality. And let's think about the Hep B vaccination that is given to infants within an hour or so of being born. They sweep your baby up, take them away, and give them a shot that can only harm them. A baby is not exposed to Hep B unless they are doing drugs or having sex, and their immune system is incapable of doing anything, even if that vaccination wasn't full of toxic elements. They would need to be at least 2 years old for the immune system to be able to respond in any meaningful way. Why are they given that shot within an hour of being born? And why does the U.S. have the highest first-day infant mortality rate in the entire industrialized world? You don't see that being headlined on mainstream media, do you? As they're passing absolutely insane, draconian, mandatory vaccination laws that are nothing less than a completely out-of-control police state. That's the actions that are surrounding us at this point. Another headline, study confirms virus in MMR caused devastating brain damage and killed five-year-old. And there is this reminder headline from a report I already covered. Glyphosate found in childhood vaccinations proven by MIT. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the world's most recognized research institutions. What will it take for the public to ignore the lies and propaganda they're being fed from official sources and the bought and paid for mainstream media ministry of propaganda and look at the truth, investigate the truth before all of our children are completely damaged? Moving on, how bad is the bigger picture? Mainstream sources continue to creep closer to the truth. This headline sounds dire, but in fact, it still falls far short of what we collectively face. if we, the human race, remain on the current course. Here is the headline from Condé Nast Traveler magazine and other sources. Quote, listen carefully. Humans will perish in 31 years, warns latest climate change study. Let's stop there for a moment. How many will turn away from a headline like that? And in fact, that headline, again, falls far short of the severity and immediacy of what we actually face and doesn't make mention of the climate engineering assault, which is pounding the nails into our collective coffin by the day. But how many are willing to face that kind of a title? And certainly, I understand how unpleasant and unwanted this type of news is. How well I understand that after spending the last 15-plus years of my life exclusively dedicated to a battle to sound the alarm. I have not done anything but try to sound the alarm for 15 years. Have not been anywhere, any vacations, done anything but fight this fight, which I will continue to fight. I've lost most former friends, family, but what is one to do? But to thine own self be true. But to follow the calling of conscience, and I am honored at the individuals that have entered my life now because of this battle. And I revere and regard those individuals who have stood up, summoned their courage, and who are marching forward in this battle. My deepest gratitude to all of those who are doing their best, whatever your individual circumstances, that you're doing your best to do your best. And what could matter more than that? Regardless of the resistance from those around us that don't want to know the truth. That must change. If we are to have any chance of salvaging any part of Earth's life support systems and saving anyone from what is coming, we must stand together. We must wake the masses. We must reach a critical mass of awareness. We must wake our military brothers and sisters who are facilitating our near-term demise. From this study, again, that humans will perish in 31 years, cities like Mumbai, Florida, Shanghai will be reduced to swamps. 90% of mankind will be annihilated, says report released ahead of the World Environment Day. The report continues, quote, we've got till 2050, just 31 years before 90% of mankind is annihilated by climate change, says Australia's Breakthrough National Center for Climate Restoration. The BNCCR is an independent think tank. Its recent report reinterprets existing data to arrive at this dire conclusion. The findings may seem alarmist, but the cause for alarm is genuine, as the report states. It argues that though the data is there for all to see, bodies like the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, are not projecting the doomsday scenario realistically enough. And on that note, again, the 2050 date for our common demise is a complete fallacy. On the current course, on the current mathematical trajectory, many of us, if not most of us, will be lucky to make 2025. And I don't care how many people roll their eyes and walk away from that statement. That's a mathematical certainty on the current trajectory. We must change courses. I challenge anyone, everyone, look at the data. Our biosphere is collapsing by the day. Fisheries, crops, insects, ozone layer, forests, all collapsing by the day. And it's an exponential equation, and that's what must be understood. It is not a linear equation. Because it took 200 years to destroy the environment to this point, doesn't mean that we have 200 more years to finish it off. Doesn't mean that. We are in the final stages of the sixth great mass extinction on our planet. That's a mathematical, statistical fact that's being hidden from most of the U.S. population because we're importing foods from countries all over the world that are starving to death to keep our store shelves stocked, to keep everybody fat and happy and punching on their iPhones and watching football games until we hit the wall at full velocity. In the meantime, the military-industrial complex is using its ability to spread carnage around the globe by sacking countries, stripping them of their resources to keep the party going in the U.S. That's exactly what's happening. Another parallel report from Futurism.com. New research, quote, human civilization will likely collapse by 2050. Another completely false report because, one, it's unimaginably optimistic given the current scenario, and two, it gives the impression that everything will be fine until 2050 and then it will all immediately collapse. We're in collapse now. 2019, collapse is unfolding now. These are just more reports of pacification. And again, consider the contrast between these last two headline reports. One states human will perish by 2050. One says civilization will collapse. Two very different conclusions. But again, both of which grossly underestimate the gravity and immediacy of what's actually unfolding. More to the point, what is the core cause of imminent collapse and inevitable extinction? The loss of life-supporting natural habitat. With that in mind, a reminder of this recent report from numerous sources. Quote, human society under urgent threat from loss of Earth's natural life. Scientists reveal 1 million species at risk of extinction in damning UN report, but still falling short. That report's still falling short. Does the species extinction stop at 1 million? And for those that don't know how many species there are on the planet, consider this. We are losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect every single day to extinction right now. That's 15,000 times the background rate, which is 1.5% of normal. Again, nothing normal about that. Human society is in jeopardy from the accelerating decline of Earth's natural life support systems. This is from the report. The world's leading scientists have warned as they announced the result of the most thorough planetary health check ever undertaken. Most thorough report ever undertaken, and now they're giving us 30 years till extinction. It wasn't very long ago, was it, when we heard reports that if we stay in the current course, we could be in some trouble by 2100, 100 years from now, somewhere in that range. How much has that lie changed now? For the decade that geoengineeringwatch.org has existed, we have stated on the record that it is far worse than anything we are being told by official sources. What we face is far worse and far more immediate, and now we are coming to the point where that's becoming increasingly more difficult to hide. What do those in power do as the walls close in around us all, as biosphere collapse accelerates? They ramp up their loot, plunder, and pillage policies. On that note, from numerous sources, this telling new headline report, quote, Trump administration is responsible for the largest reduction in protected land in U.S. history, study finds. The Trump administration is responsible for the largest reduction in the boundaries of protected land in U.S. history, according to a new study. The study, one of the most comprehensive to date, was published in the journal Science. And consider, yes, it's worse now than ever. I'm sorry for those that don't accept that, but the policies now are worse than ever. But does that mean that Barack Obama was any less a puppet for the power structure than the current administration? No. Every bit as much a puppet. Barack Obama, the drone-killing king, killing innocent civilians in other countries, including wedding parties, in one case 50 people at a wedding party slaughtered, or the Clintons, Bill Clinton in the Balkans, other places, the carnage was being wrought by our military-industrial complex. They are all part of the power structure play. It's simply far worse than ever. And the current administration serves the power structure even more effectively than previous administrations because they have an actor in the play now that is even more divisive than current or than previous administrations. But all of them puppets in the play, nothing more. And for those who still want to cling to beliefs, false beliefs, that some occupant of the White House is going to save them, it's exactly what the power structure has always wanted. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. How many people with Barack Obama felt that the great change had come, that it was here? What a complete falsehood. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, only worse. More headlines from e360.yale.edu. This is Yale University. Geoengineering the planet, question mark. More scientists now say it must be an option. What a delusional state we live in, that everything we see in our skies is exactly what is described by articles like this. Exactly. Jet aircraft spraying particulates to blot out the sun and haze out the sky, happening above our heads, and yet all official sources say it isn't so, and YouTube censorship, social media censorship is going to, it looks like, delete any sources of valid information, just like Google deleted geoengineeringwatch.org from a search of the geoengineering term, from top of the page to gone from 20 pages. And all those who serve these tyrannical entities are a part of the problem, a part of the cancer. We have seen the enemy and they are us. That's the society we live in. It's not those in power that have brought us to this dark point. Not so much. as a society that is willing to go along with whatever they are told, as the Milgram experiments proved. Look up the Milgram experiments, read about them, and you'll be shocked. And that's the sort of societal behavior we have that has brought us to this point. From the report, human intervention with the climate system has long been viewed as an ill-advised and risky step to slow global warming. But with carbon emissions soaring, initiatives to study and develop geoengineering technologies are gaining traction as a potential last resort. We are running out of time to mitigate catastrophic climate change, say the scientists. Half-truth and glaring lie mixed together. A last resort? Geoengineering is a last resort. It was deployed 70-plus years ago. What a total deception from so-called academia. What a total betrayal to deny what is and has been going on in our skies for nearly three-quarters of a century. What a blatant, glaring lie. And all those responsible for propagating that lie should be held legally and morally responsible by a justifiably enraged population once they find out what's been done to them without their knowledge or consent. And about the report's statement that we are running out of time to mitigate catastrophic climate change, also a lie. Catastrophic climate change is here, along with catastrophic climate engineering, already here. Deception at so many levels in academia. What is the current status of the engineered climate on planet Earth? Weather and temperature whiplash, a direct result of completely out-of-control climate engineering operations. That's the status. The western U.S. is again going to be baked under an ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure heat dome, while other portions of the U.S. will continue to be flooded and chemically cooled with patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification that's seeded into moisture-laden clouds to cool the surface down. This article title will tell you more about this issue. Search Geoengineering Creating Freeze-Fry Extremes, or search the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. On to breaking data on the biosphere implosion front. From sciencealert.com, a quote, surreal atmospheric CO2 record just blew all previous measures out of the water. From that report, quote, humanity has been climbing a treacherous path, and now, looking down from such great heights, our footprints are clear to see. And for those who continue to try to convince themselves that filling the atmosphere with greenhouse gases is not a problem, the more the better, that is absolutely as incorrect as it could possibly be. Just because something's necessary, too much of it is not helpful. And when we have changes on our planet happening now, statistically, 170 times faster than any previous paleo event, any previous event on our planet, nothing can adapt to that. Nothing. And it's not just CO2. It's methane. It's nitrous oxide also filling the atmosphere, trapping heat. It doesn't all just magically float out into space. It's trapped here. We live in a fishbowl. Please get past ideology, bias, and preconception. Look at the facts. The planet's in total meltdown. Climate engineering and the attempt to mask that from populations until the last possible moment and be used as weather as a weapon is making the entire situation far worse, not better. From weather.com and other sources, an updated report from India, which continues to fry on the same theme, from constant record heat. Here's the report headline. Deadly Indian heat wave temperature reaches 123 degrees. This is going on. This is not an old report. This is new. It's going on and on and on. Reaches 123 degrees in second driest pre-monsoon spell in 65 years. And again, I've stated this before. They always state it's happened before, so people think, oh, it must be normal. Not the case. From redanalysis.org and other sources, the Midwest floods, the trade war, and the swine flu pandemic, the agricultural and food superstorm is here. Yes, it's here. It will be felt soon enough. And for those that are trying to sound the alarm and that are discouraged by the resistance of those around them from family and friends, know this. The seeds of truth that you sow will soon be forced to sprout due to unfolding circumstances. From earthobservatory.nasa.gov, food crisis grows from dry soils. And then I get people who state, why would you quote NASA for anything? Because the point is that when you have agencies like NASA, that's nothing more than a criminal arm of the military-industrial complex, when they have to admit to certain things, that means those things are exponentially worse than they're even stating. That's why we all must learn to sift the baby from the bathwater. And there's a point in quoting official agencies like this because it reveals that they can't hide the problem any longer. Food crisis grows from dry soils. And as I go through this report and try to connect important pieces to the puzzle, keep the weather warfare scenario in mind. Keep that in mind. Drought is apparent across much of East Africa after seasonal rains in late 2018 and 2019 failed to deliver much-needed moisture to the region. The dearth of precipitation has contributed to a crisis for food security. In recent decades, Somalia has long faced bouts of dry when rainy seasons failed to deliver much-needed water for crops and livestock, and for many consecutive seasons this occurred. Prior to 2019, earlier droughts caused large-scale crop failure, livestock deaths, and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people. FEWS Net reports that Somalia is expected to reach the, quote, emergency food insecurity phase. Now consider this recent headline. Connect the puzzle pieces. This is directly related to the weather warfare droughting out of Somalia, just like the Middle Eastern countries. Here's the recent headline from CNN and other sources. U.S. military mission in Somalia could take 7 years to complete. From that report, this week, President Donald Trump signed an executive order extending a presidential declaration of a national emergency concerning Somalia for another year, calling the Islamist insurgency plaguing that country, quote, unusual and extraordinary threat to the U.S. Think about that. An insurgency in Somalia is threatening us here in the U.S. It's not threatening us. It's threatening, quote, U.S. interests, the looting, plundering, and pillaging of other countries. On that note, this parallel report from the Washington Examiner, quote, heartless but true, there's no reason for U.S. troops to be in Somalia. But there is, isn't there? It's about resources. Somalia has been one of the main fronts in the forever war known as the War on Terrorism. This has certainly been going on since 9/11. 9/11, the new Pearl Harbor, the license by which the power structure was given its blessing by the American population to go anywhere and do anything, because the population was programmed to believe that unless the military did this, they would be in danger here at home. And that is not the case. 9/11 was an inside job. It was the new Pearl Harbor to justify military aggression around the globe. On that note, consider this. A more in-depth investigation reveals that there is, in fact, a reason for the U.S. military to be in Somalia. Consider this headline. Massive uranium find in Somalia may exceed a quarter of the world's known reserves. Imagine that. Now, this piece to the puzzle. There must be a premise to justify U.S. military occupation of a sovereign nation, correct? Someone must be scapegoated as trying to steal their uranium first. Here it is. Quote, U.S. says militants plot to supply uranium to Iran. What a surprise. Blame it on Iran. That's the target now. Now this headline from voiceofafrica.tv. Here's why Somalia is lying about al-Shabaab. That's the terrorist the U.S. refers to selling uranium to Iran. A lie. All a lie. But used by the U.S. to help justify the occupation. And in regard to Africa as a whole, in the looting and plundering and pillaging of resources of the 800 military bases the U.S. have abroad, so many are in Africa. U.S. military has a presence in 50 of 54 African countries. That's called empire. And let's not forget the Middle East carnage that has been fueled by the U.S. foreign policy of war. Consider this new headline from globalresearch.ca. The policy of creative chaos, America's project for a, quote, Middle East Holocaust. From that report, the project for a new Middle East is the project for a new Holocaust. It's happening now. The policy of, quote, creative chaos underpins the, quote, Middle East Holocaust. Empire, i.e. U.S. empire, will fully destroy the sovereignty and territorial integrity of prey nations such as Libya, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Ukraine, and beyond. Genocidal, ethnic cleansing, mass murder, and destruction are described benignly as, quote, chaos and as, quote, creative. When will Americans be willing to face the truth? That's patriotism, by the way. A true patriot is willing to face reality and the truth and not blindly wave a flag. That's not patriotism. Now back to the chaos and weather warfare being waged against the U.S. population by elements within our own government. Back to the catastrophic flooding in the U.S., which is a result of what can only be considered weather warfare from Weather Underground and other sources. Wettest 12 months in U.S. history, again. That's the report, again, because I reported on this before when we had a previous 12-month period that was the wettest in history, and now it's happened again. Propelled by a two-week siege of widespread severe weather and heavy rain in late May, the contiguous U.S. has once again broken its record for the wettest year-long span in data going all the way back to 1895. The year-to-date also shattered the record for the wettest January to May period in U.S. history. From SmithsonianMagazine.com, this recent report: record-breaking heat in Alaska wreaks havoc on communities and ecosystems. We don't hear much about that here in the U.S., do we? Abnormally high temperatures have led to unsafe travel conditions, uncertain ecological futures, and even multiple deaths in Alaska. Across Alaska, March temperatures averaged 11 degrees Celsius above normal. This is in Fahrenheit, about 19 degrees. They report Celsius because it looks like a lower number to the population, so they use any way they can to deceive the true escalation of temperatures. The deviation was most extreme in the Arctic, where on March 30th, thermometers rose almost 22 degrees Celsius above normal. That's pushing 40 degrees above normal. We don't hear anything about that here. From the UK Independent and other sources, more red flag headline warnings, quote, climate apocalypse, end quote, to leave Scotland with abandoned villages, doomed forests, and no bird song within a decade. Getting closer to the truth on that headline. From that report, Scotland faces numerous catastrophic impacts from the climate crisis, which could leave the country with polluted waters, abandoned villages, dying forests, and few remaining birds, the head of the country's environmental agency warned. And no mention of climate engineering anywhere in any of these headlines, is there? Another headline from France24.com, yet another report of relentless record-shattering heat. Quote, again, India heat wave temperatures pass 50 degrees Celsius. From TelesureEnglish.net in the country of Chile, this new report, rare tornado rips through Chile, causing deaths, injury, and damage. These are just samples of what's happening all over the globe that we don't see while we're being fed the political theater of the absurd from the mainstream media ministry of propaganda. From Russian news agency TAS.com, this overlooked but very dire report. Quote, scientists name a new reason for methane release in the Arctic. I don't have time to cover this report in depth, but here's the bottom line. Increasing ocean salinity is further fueling the thawing and releasing of seabed methane hydrate deposits. This is yet one more major issue that official sources and mainstream media sources are looking the other way on. Why is this methane report so important? Because there's enough methane in the seabed deposits that, if it was to all release, would turn our planet into a lifeless ball of rock resembling Venus. What is the single greatest factor that is affecting ocean currents? Yet again, as with so many other unfolding cataclysms, climate engineering is implicated. Climate engineering is altering upper-level wind patterns. That's altering ocean currents, pumping warm water into areas where it's thawing methane. Climate engineering so often at the core of the converging cataclysms that are closing in on us all. And by the way, for those that have already been impacted by these cataclysms that are trying to find some place to survive, those are refugees. They're not immigrants. They're refugees. And for those that still claim or think or believe that populations will soon reach 10 billion, not going to happen. Not even close. The great die-off is already starting to unfold. From many sources, this headline statement, quote, Mexico Environment Minister says parasitic and predatory neoliberalism to blame for climate crisis, and a scathing rebuke to the elite capitalists and politicians who largely control the global economic and energy systems. Mexico's newly appointed environmental secretary on Wednesday pointed a stern finger at the parasitic and predatory neoliberals for being the key culprits behind the planetary climate crisis. He's right in many ways, and they're behind climate engineering also, which is further fueling the climate crisis. Not the only factor. Too many people still clinging to that, like climate engineering is the only thing that ever harmed the environment. That's not reasonable or rational. Mexico's new environmental minister went on to say this, human beings are not responsible for global warming. Well, that's certainly not true, is it? It's human beings that run the power structure. It's human beings who support the power structure in exchange for a paycheck or a pension or a sense of security. Again, we've seen the enemy, and he is us. Again, I know there are exceptions, and I am very grateful to those exceptions, but taken as a whole, it must be understood and acknowledged that those in power could not do what they do without the cooperation of the majority of society. On that note, consider this quote from the movie The Matrix. I have previously covered other quotes from this prophetic film. The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. The Matrix is a system. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around. What do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inured, so hopelessly dependent on the system that they will fight to protect it. How true that is. From vaccinations and the denial of their dangers, to the denial of the climate engineering insanity over our heads, to the denial of what was clearly demolitions on 9/11. So many fighting to protect their paradigm of denial. That must change. On that note, from strategicculture.org, this new and on target report, brainwashing in action. Pence hails virtue of, quote, certain war. In an address to West Point military graduates, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence told them that they will one day fight for America. It's a virtual certainty, said Pence, who was swelling with pride as he spoke rather than lamenting. Well, at least he's being candid. The United States is a warmongering nation. There is no doubt about that. As several historical studies attest, out of 243 years since its formation as a modern state, the U.S. has been at war during every single decade, sometimes in multiple simultaneous wars. Or put another way, over nearly 95% of its historical existence, the U.S. has been involved in waging wars, sometimes covertly or by proxy. Since the Second World War alone, the U.S. has been involved in up to 60 wars or covert conflicts, inflicting a civilian death toll estimated at 20 million or more. Arguably, there is not another nation, past or present, with such a record of belligerence. So, yes, Pence is correct when he told graduates from the U.S. Elite Military Academy, quote, "It is a virtual certainty that you will be on a battlefield for America," end quote. Ironically, the vice president, like President Trump, and the hawkish national security advisor, John Bolton, has never served in the military. Yet, Pence held forth like a four-star armchair general about the need for young American troops to do battle and die in a dangerous world. Pence said, quote, "I know when that day comes, you will move to the sound of guns," end quote, exhorted Pence, whose only experience of gunfire, no doubt, comes from watching replays of old Hollywood war movies. The whole world is a potential battlefield in Pence's reckoning. Not just Pence, but nearly all American politicians. He specifically mentioned U.S. troops going into future conflict with China or North Korea. He also said they may be deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq, where U.S. forces have been embroiled for nearly two decades. Ominously, Pence warned the new cohort of West Point second lieutenants that they may one day be dispatched to a war in, quote, "this hemisphere." Given the Trump administration's backing for a coup in Venezuela and its threats of military intervention, was Pence alluding to a possible war in the works with that South American country, which, by the way, happens to possess the biggest known oil reserves on the planet? The exulting in future wars by Pence comes at a time of escalating military threats from the U.S. towards Iran. The Trump administration has sent an aircraft carrier strike group to the Persian Gulf, as well as new missile batteries, nuclear-capable B-52 bombers, and more squadrons of F-16 fighter jets. Trump also commanded 1,500 more troops to the Middle East region to join an already 70,000 stationed there in a bid to ostensibly counter the, quote, "Iranian aggression." Again, a country that has attacked no one for over 200 years while the U.S. has done everything I've already described. The global context of American military deployment, as Pence openly acknowledges, belies the claims made by Washington of it allegedly facing, quote, "Iranian aggression." What's going on in the Persian Gulf is just one sequence in a whole global series of relentless U.S. militarism. It is estimated that the U.S. has 800 military bases around the planet with its forces deployed in at least 70 countries. The idea that this imperialist configuration is because the U.S. is, quote, "the leader of the free world" is absolute propaganda. American military power is used to project and protect U.S. capitalist interests. U.S. troops are just hired guns and cannon fodder for corporate profit-making, as former Marine General Smedley Butler scathingly confessed during the 1930s in his classic book, War is a Racket. When Pence said, quote, "It is a virtual certainty that you will be in a battlefield for America," what he really meant to say was for American capitalism. U.S. soldiers are sent to wars not to defend American national security or to promote democracy, as the myth goes. They are sent to foreign lands to kill, die, or be maimed for the sole sordid purpose of making money for elite bankers, corporate executives, or rich shareholders who send their non-serving scions to fancy private colleges like Pence and Trump went to. The American ruling class perpetuates itself by sending working-class citizens into wars for capitalist profit over and over again. The unremitting warmongering that underpins American capitalism is testified to by Pence's address to the West Point graduates. Stripped from the pious rhetoric, Pence was telling it like it is. The American way is war. War and more war. The American way is total war on the planet to get whatever U.S. corporations need in order to make the oligarchic class even richer. Even when the U.S. is purportedly engaged in, quote, diplomacy, it is always ready to exercise the all options of militarism in order to get its infernal way. Pence referred to U.S. troops one day going to the Korean Peninsula because he asserted North Korea is, quote, a threat to peace. A country where the American military killed 3 million people during the 1950 to 53 Korean War. Pence warned that there could be another war against North Korea or China, partly because China, he said, was, quote, challenging American power, or more correctly, American hegemony. It's quite astounding that the American vice president is envisioning a war with two countries that his administration is supposedly engaging with in ongoing diplomatic negotiations. The Trump administration is trying to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons while also pursuing major economic concessions from China in trade relations. Evidently, however, the White House views the ultimate decider to be military force in its relations with these two countries. Pence's reprehensible disclosure of militarist designs toward North Korea and China is bound to undermine diplomacy, if not torpedo it altogether. How are Pyongyang and Beijing expected to engage with the U.S. administration that ultimately views war as an option in order to get its way if negotiations fall short of U.S. demands? Why would Iran, for example, take up Trump's latest offer this week of talks when evidently the American way is to always hold a gun under the table? What are the chances of Russia negotiating sustainable future of arms control treaties with the U.S. when history has shown Washington to have ripped up previous treaties again and again? The two Cold War nuclear control pillars, the ABM and the INF treaties, were trashed in 2002 and last year unilaterally by the U.S. so as to give itself a license to point nuclear missiles in Moscow's face, all to gratify its obsession with global, quote, full-spectrum dominance. Question, how is it possible for U.S. Vice President Mike Pence to get away with making warmongering all over the planet sound like a virtue? Why are those supposed American virtues somehow perceived as genuine and believable? And all the while, the Western corporate news media are obediently silent, bereft of any critical questioning. What does that say about the extent of brainwashing in today's world? Consider this quote from Jiddu Krishnamurti, who said this: "It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society." Something to deeply ponder. Stop, stand back, and consider that even now, as the climate and environment unravel, as the web of life is dying by the day, those who wield power continue to push us all over the precipice, fueling the military-industrial complex of total madness, which continues to loot, plunder, and pillage the planet's remaining resources until there's nothing left. All of this, so far, has largely been supported by flag-waving citizens that refuse to take an honest look at the unfolding environmental implosion, or who refuse to look up at the toxic climate engineering weather warfare assault being waged over their heads on a daily basis. Question, what can we do? Though many tell themselves they're helpless, and though many choose to believe that those in power are invincible, neither premise is true. We are not helpless. Those in power are not gods. We must stand together. We must make our voices heard. We must wake populations to the existential threats that are closing in on us from every side, and most dire of all, from above. The weather warfare, biological warfare assault taking place in our once blue skies and contaminating every breath we take. If we can expose the insanity, we have a real chance at stopping it. If we can achieve this, it would be the single greatest leap we could collectively make in the right direction. If we have any chance of making this leap, it will take all of our efforts, all of us. Never give up. Face the gathering storm head on. Check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific activist links to tell you how to effectively and efficiently wake others to what is unfolding. Share credible data from a credible source. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.